Our arbitrator. You know, it's fantastic to have an arbitrator, and our Father is so good to us. If you overlook that one fact, you miss a great deal in life. Open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Father put things in place, and all we have to do is align with it and listen to Him, take His instructions, and receive His blessings. His blessings are ever so very important. What does the word arbitrator mean in the Greek? Let's talk about that a moment. Methetes. It means a go-between. It means a convener, an intercessor. And it comes from the prime meso, which means in the middle. And between, meaning what? That we have a mediator at the right hand of God that is between the world and you, if you'll believe it. And that's why I thought it was between me and God. Well, He and Father are one. And God's not angry at you if you're one of God's elect. You don't have any problem with Him. Your problem is with the world. So what Christ does, he's your arbitrator between yourself and this wicked world. If you take His instructions, if you take His advice, if you take His blessings, it makes it a lot better place to live in. Okay. So, chapter 2, the great book of 1 Timothy, verse 1, and it reads, I exhort therefore, I really want to talk to you. That first of all, supplications. That means humbly to seek Him, not boastfully or roughly, but humbly to go to our Father in prayer. Prayers, intercessions that you care about others. You know, whether they want you to or not, you still pray they get everything they got coming to them. Okay, that always helps. And giving thanks. Don't forget to thank Father for everything that He does for you. All the blessings be made for all men. That means it's open to everyone, whomsoever will. But first of all, those supplications, do it humbly to Him when you're approaching. He's there, and He's listening. Verse 2, for kings... This is heathen rulers, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. But we can be peaceable in a nation by adhering to its ways, whereby it must license us to teach God's word around the world. And so it is, whether you agree with it or not, you don't have to compromise. You can always stand. And make that stand. But a wise person can get along. Because why? You're supposed to be wiser than the serpent, but as peaceful as a dove. Okay, and so it is. You can handle that if you have the wisdom to know how to handle Satan. Do you know the main weapon you have in that case is your arbitrator? He's standing between you and that problem. He's there, and He knows it. Now, there are times that He knows you can handle something yourself. You may get roughed up a little bit, but He wants you to handle it, square it away. Why? Because He's not raising a bunch of wimps. He's raising and using people that are can-do, that can get it done humbly, with intercession for all when they deserve it, and serving Him. How precious it is. And that is, in handling that, you have that arbitrator. Don't ever forget that. So many people drop that thought and they're on their own and they get all bloodied up in the world when you got a lot of help, if you'll just use it. And for this is the good and acceptable. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Who is your Savior? He is. verse 4, whose will, I like to translate this, whose will it is that all men be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And that knowledge of the truth is what? It's the entire plan of God, the simplicity in which it's written. He has a people that are supposed to plant those seeds of truth, that to cultivate them, to enlighten people whereby they know what God expects of them, so that God can use you, a tool in His shed that He knows He can send out there, and you're not going to wimp out the first time a little adversary comes along. You're a child of God, and your arbitrator has your hand. He's between you and the trouble, and He knows how to handle it. He'll handle everything but that you can cut yourself, okay? You might say, well, sometimes He leaves me hanging out there. Well, He's proud of you. He thinks you can cut it. Boy, have you got Him fooled, huh? In some cases. All right, be that as it may. Verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator. This is the word right here. One mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. If you ever have any doubt, there He is. Again, well, what was it you said that mediator meant? It means to be between. It means to counsel. It is your trouble in the world. He's going to judge it and gauge it. And do you know something? We don't have anything to fear other than fear itself. You know, as long as you keep focused on the Word of God and you're not a party person, always playing around, then God will use you. Otherwise, you're no good. He can't use somebody that won't stay focused in this critical time. Period. So there you have the mediator, the one that stands between you and trouble. Think what a comfort that is. I mean, there's some bad old stuff out there in the world. And when you expose yourself to it right head on, why would you do that when you can have the power of powers between you and it? Spiritually speaking, He's there. That's what a mediator is. Between you and that problem. Talk to Him. Enlist Him in your life. And you shouldn't be afraid of anything. Because you and He make a majority. We're coming into some troubled times in these end times. That's why we're covering this particular lecture. You need to, though as simple as it is, the message of the mediator. Metho, the prime. He's between. He's in the middle. He's there for you. And do you know something? He's sitting at the right hand of God. He's got God's attention. One God. There's only one. And He cares about those that care about Him. That's why the message of the mediator is so very important. That's why He would say, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Why? He's there with you. He's between you and the problem. Do you trust Him? That's the point. Do you believe? That's the second point. And will you follow? That's the third point. To receive His blessings is to love Him and to return that love. So, verse 6, to continue. Who gave Himself a ransom for all. Now, how many just God's elect? He just gave Himself a ransom for God's elect? No. All. To be testified in due time. That's to say, in its own season, and God's elect know that season, but He gave this to all who will repent. And naturally, the message that the elect take, it saves souls. It lets people know that between the middle is filled. The middle is taken. Well, who's it taken by? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's there between you and the problem. If you believe, if you have repented, if you need help, if you need knowledge, because most of this is getting the knowledge from God to know what to do, especially in this season. In the due season, He lets you know. And that message bubbles forth of comfort and understanding to know we do not face the world alone. There is a middleman, and that middleman is the Lord Jesus Christ, He who paid everything so that you could have what you have, the comfort, the comforter, to know that you have a mediator. How precious it is. All right, that being the foundation, then let's go on, if we may, to the great book of Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We're going to sum it all up here. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Think about that a moment. Don't just read over it. You have a priest, a mediator, right there in not on earth, in heaven. And He's right there at the hand of Almighty God. He knows you. He knows what you do. Verse 2. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. Not that tabernacle He instructed Moses, but this tabernacle that resurrected in 3 days and became the body of Christ, the many-membered body of Christ, those that repent, those that love, and those that listen to Him, that they have this one. What? Where is He again? Right on the altar of God. You're wired in pretty well in high places there, my friend. So you want to be careful what you do when you have the touch of Him upon you, guiding you, directing you. No, you're never alone. Even in this troubled world where you have everything from socialist to communist to God only knows what, trying to rule over. But you have these liberties and the freedom that God has guaranteed. When you stand for it, you have an arbitrator between yourself and wickedness. Verse 3, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is necessary that this man have somewhat also to offer. It was necessary that Christ had something to offer also. What did He offer? Himself. He gave Himself for you, that you would have that arbitrator. Verse 4, if He were on earth, He should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, and which they've done in the past by the old. 5, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses, who was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Now let's, in case you forget, what was the tabernacle for? What was everything in it for? The whole subject. It was to know how to communicate with God. To know how to talk to Him. How to reach Him in the simplicity. And then, where you had the burnt offerings, the laver, the candle, the stick, the menorah, the shewbread, and the incense of prayers going up in the Holy of Holies. Now you have Christ. He simplified it, whereby you have this arbitrator between you and the world without all the other things. They signified something, though. They signified, and still do to this day, how you communicate with Almighty God. If you want Him to hear you, that's the problem. Verse 5. Who serve unto the examples and shadow of heavenly things. I believe we got that, didn't we? That all things according to that pattern showed. Verse 6, here's why we came here. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, much better, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. In other words, it was superior. Why? Because it comes from heaven. It comes from the very altar of God. You're not playing church here. You're talking about the Heavenly Father, the mediator, through the Son, that gets it done, that brings the blessings, that brings the knowledge whereby you are blessed. And the only way you can do that is stay focused. Stay focused in serving Him, in observing Him, and be ready for what's in the world. You can cut it. You got nothing to fear except fear itself. And if you have knowledge, you don't fear anything. Bring it on. The mediator in you can handle it. So He is our mediator. Again, what did it mean? He stands between. Let me ask you something. Do you think with His power and His might that He's going to let something through that you can't handle? He's in between. He loves you. If you've repented and you're in good standing, He loves you. And that's why He's in between. Because you carry the message and the witness of the end times that is ever so prominent and necessary at this time. Verse 7. For if that the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. It wouldn't have been necessary. Verse 8. For finding fault with them, He saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. With all of them, I'm going to make it. 9. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. You see, they let Him down terribly when Moses was up on that mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I mean, they disgraced Almighty God the way they acted, even Aaron himself fashioning a golden calf. So that's why you want to be real careful in these end times. That flunked. It failed. But it was still a shadow of truth that was to come when Christ Himself paid that price, offered Himself for one and all times. And He became that tabernacle. He Himself became the tabernacle, the many-membered body, the chief cornerstone. Will you accept that chief cornerstone, or do you want it to fall on you? It's your choice. Okay. I'm quoting Psalms 118, in case you... Verse 125, somewhere along there. Verse 11, And they shall not teach each man, every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord? For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. There will come that time in the millennium when you're all in spiritual bodies, you'll be teaching discipline. That means focus. Stay focused. For I will be merciful to their ungodliness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. There's a qualification on that. Do you know what it is? For those that repent. They don't repent, He's got another place for them. Okay. 13, in that he saith, a new covenant. He hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. He's fulfilled it. Christ coming has fulfilled that part of that covenant. And what we're going to do is skip right on into the chapter 9. We're going to pick it up in about verse 14. The subject continues. And as we pick it up there in 14 of chapter 9 of this great book of Hebrews, verse 14 reads, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, he was perfect, purge your conscience from dead works, to serve the living God. Well, what are these dead works? Men's traditions. I mean, traditions that are going nowhere. If anything, they're going to lead you down the wrong path. So you have to stick with the Word of God and be ready to stand, and above all, stand against that falseness. Why? Because you have an arbitrator. That equips you for heavy, big-time plowing, okay? I mean, there's nothing that you can't handle with His help and His leadership. So don't ever get shook up and let Him see you sweat on your first cruise. He'll see you through it. He'll show you a way, and you will do just fine. Why? Because He paid the price for you. And when you, with supplication, that means when you humbly go before Him and ask for knowledge and ask for wisdom, ask for direction, He's going to provide it if you'll use it for the right purpose, and that is to strengthen the tabernacle that He built, that is to say, the many-membered body, that is to say, the family of the living God, to strengthen it and to give it place. How precious that is. And verse 15, and for this cause, or this is the reason, He is the mediator, there's our word right there, the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called, who is this that's called? Well, make a guess. The called, the elect, might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And listen, not only to receive eternal inheritance for yourself, but to, with intercession of teaching that same word to others, planting a seed, you bring eternal life to the rest of the house, to the rest of the people, not just yourself, but you are a vessel carrying forth that word. Why? Well, you can do it, but why? Well, you have an arbitrator helping you. He's between you and the bad things in the world, so you don't have anything to worry about. Now, naturally, you might say, well, you're teaching a perfect world. No, you can scratch around in garbage all you want to. You can find that real easy. Just get out there and start digging, you know. You can get it all over you if you want to. But let somebody else do that, and you stay in the Word of God and be blessed. It's a lot better life. Verse 16, and for where is a testament, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. That means Christ had to die on the cross to make this possible. For verse 17, for a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator lives. In other words, the will's not any good until the old boy dies. And then it's cashing in. Well, Christ died on the cross and he paid a price for all of us. Cash in. It's your inheritance. He's willing. He's sitting there. He wants to be your mediator. Boy, that's a lot to pass up and cast away. When you're in a world that, boy, is going to get rougher and rougher. But with that mediator, it's easier and easier. His yoke is light and makes work easy. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated or purified without blood. 19, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people. That is to say, he sprinkled the books on the altar. He sprinkled the altar and he sprinkled the people. What did that signify? When you sprinkle the altar, it signifies death done away with. You sprinkle the people, it means to eternal life. The blood was shed whereby you could have that life. 20, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you or for you. 21, moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Those are the things with which you communicate with God. It was sprinkled. It was blessed. Do you ever use it? Do you ever communicate with him? 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. There's no remission of sins. That's the way it goes. 23, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. They're coming. There's more of them. That's what you're in now, the heavenly things. Though you're not in heaven, though you're on earth, you have a mediator that is in heaven. He's at the right hand of God. He's there for you if you participate. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, that's an old tabernacle, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. For you, yes. But don't be selfish. For us. That's to say, for everyone. And when you plant that seed, you're a vessel that God can use. You're a vessel that God can get between and the world and make you successful. Verse 25, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. 26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Can you imagine that? That he died on that cross, perfect, perfect sacrifice, to destroy the devil, which is to say death. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. We'll find that scripture I just quoted. That's why he did it. But he did it also to show you the way. To show you, he's not asking you to do something he didn't do himself. Meaning, you're in the flesh, and the flesh has problems. Lots of them. He was in the flesh, and he showed us how to get it done right. And that pattern was set. That's what Hebrews chapter 2 signifies. But he doesn't have to do this over and over. That's power. And that mediator is your mediator. Let me rephrase it. It is our mediator. Verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. It's coming. 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's returning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is your arbiter. He stands between you and the world. And you can get it done, but you got to do it His way. That's why you must focus on the Word, the Comforter, and the leading of Almighty God, if you want to be blessed. That's the way it stands. I'll turn on to the 12th chapter of this great book of Hebrews, and we're going to conclude there. There is a lot that transpires in this 12th chapter. Let's observe verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What is that saying? Paul spoke colloquial Greek. And when he says a cloud, he means there's a bunch of us. Like you'd say a cloud of locusts or a cloud of blackbirds or something. He said, man, here in the end times, that cloud is large. But what it's like is running a race in the Olympics. That's what this is talking about, is running a foot race in the Olympics. But it's liking it to your spiritual life. He's saying, if you want to run it, you're weighting yourself down with hang-ups. You're weighting yourself down with your little habits, with your little sins. You better cast them away if you intend to run this race, or you're not going to win. He's making it very plain. That great cloud of witnesses, does that mean all of them probably won't make it through? Well, it could be. He goes on then and says, I chasten those I love, and he does. And so as long as he gets the big board after you, the naughty paddle, you better say, thank you, Jesus. I needed that. And let it so be. But he goes on and he tells about how that things can spring up like a root of bitterness in the 15th verse. Don't let bitterness spring up in your life. Put that is bitter aside like it doesn't exist. You don't have time for it. You're moving on in God's kingdom. Get rid of it. And then he continues on. I get asked quite a few questions about, did God really hate Esau? Well, if you understand the Greek, you'll know why. When you read 16, if you let those little things spring up in your life, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. He's a male prostitute. That's what that word means in the Greek. Okay. He sold himself. Didn't care anything about God. Sold his birthright, meant nothing to him. Now, what about you and your arbitrator? Does it mean something to you? I hope it does, because it didn't to Esau. That's what he just shed off and threw away. God hates it. Why I'm saying that, I want you to know how God has emotions. And God has feelings. That's why he literally hated Esau. There was no way he could get through to Esau in the first earth age or this one. And now, to comply with the lecture we're talking about here, skip on, if you would, to verse 22. And we're going to pick it up there with your arbitrator. Don't throw it away. Keep it with you. Don't let anything spring up that can rob you of that. 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, just like Moses did. Do you know what Zion means? It means bush of God. and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. There's a cloud of them. And they're coming. We're talking about the end times, beloved. You're getting there. That's why this lecture is fashioned as it is. You must prepare yourself. You must know how to put on the gospel armor to protect yourself. But the main protection you have along with the gospel armor is Christ Himself, the mediator, that stands between you and the trouble. Boy, that's a good place to be. That's a good place to have. 23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. You know who the firstborn are? I hope you do. Which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. That's Zadok. That's God's elect. 24, and to Jesus the mediator. There's our word. The stand between. He that's in the middle of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Abel's blood was spilled upon the ground by Cain, and Abel's blood cried out for vengeance against Cain and the Kenites. And Christ shed His blood with the Kenites screaming, "Crucify Him!" And so He died to destroy death, which is to say the devil, the father of all that ilk that does not convert. We're coming into that time that you want to be aware and you want to be awake. You want the mediator. Do not do as Esau, cast him away. Don't sell yourself out to Satan. Well, it's so much easier just to go with the traditions of men. Oh, have you got any asbestos underwear? That's what happens, okay? I jest in a way, but beloved, we're serious. You've got to stay focused. We're in that time. 25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. That is to say, the Comforter, His Word, our Mediator, and He that is with us and will never forsake us unless we forsake Him. 26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now He hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. It's coming. Do you know what we're talking about? We're talking about the end of this particular age. 27. And this word. Now, what word was that? This word. Yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that's created, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Well, what can't be shaken? Your mediator and you. You better remember that real well. A great shaking is coming. If you're on that rock, and He is the rock, if you have that mediator there, He's not angry at you. He's got nothing against you. You're as safe as the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace with the fire licking on them. They're smiling. They have the arbitrator with them. And they're just having a good old time. Why? Not because of the fiery furnace, not because of Nebuchadnezzar, not because of false religions, but because their Christ, the Son of God, is walking with them. You want to let Him walk with you. You might say, well, does He do that later? Well, how do you think He gets between you and trouble? You think we're just puffing smoke here? No, He literally is between you and trouble when you believe. You cannot be shaken. Don't let them see you shake. Stand. Make a stand, or you stand for nothing. Verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That's love, reverence, that we love Him with all our hearts, trust Him. 29, for our God is a consuming fire. Well, what does a consuming fire do? Well, what is consumption? It consumes it. And He's the judge. In other words, He turns Satan to ashes from within. And Satan has no choice. So there you have it. You have a mediator. He loves you. Do you know? Well, how do I know He does? Well, he died on the cross. He didn't have to. But He did it because He loves you. He loves this family. Well, how do you know this family? He spoke of this family way back in the book of Psalms, chapter 22, the generation of the fig tree, the 42nd generation, the final one. How precious it is that our Father loves you, that He considers you in that group, that you, all you have to do is love Him, supplication, humbly, go to Him. Let Him know you love Him. Ask and you will receive. Ask what? Ask for direction, knowledge, and wisdom. Do you understand that knowledge and wisdom is one of the most important things in the world right today? When you look around you with knowledge, you can see the downfalls and the pitfalls, the slippery slope that's being prepared for the end times. It's pretty obvious. He gives you that knowledge. So, how important is our arbiter? He's between you and trouble. Now, if you like trouble well enough you don't want Him there, well then, hey, good sailing. But it's a tough old trip. Why make it? He'll still let you get a taste of what it takes to keep you salty. And you are salty. And you should be. Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for Your Word. Thank You, Father, for the mediator that You have sent, Father, for being that mediator, for loving us. We know that we do not need a spokesman between ourselves and You because You love us, but we do need one between ourselves and the world, and we thank You for that. Be with these. Let us remain focused on Your Word in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen.
The Mark of the Beast.